This was when, please?
This was about 3-4 weeks ago.
Okay, recently.
Yeah, recently. Right. There was four of us, and we drove out there and made a reservation. And we got there late on a Wednesday, and we knew that the temperatures get pretty cold at night, so we brought a lot of gear and gloves and thermoses so we could put hot chocolate and withstand the cold. And we staked out our little road off the extraterrestrial highway, sort of in the boonies there. And as you know, there's not much traffic there to begin with.
Right.
Interestingly enough, there were three Belgian pilots that were staying there also.
Really?
And they were going to fly the following week. And when they were not flying, they weren't on the base, so they didn't require them to stay there. But they were in constant communication with the satellite phones that they had. So we had some interesting conversations with them also. Spoke very good English. But we went out the first night, as I said, with all the gear, and we decided where we were going to go. So we went off on this dirt road, and we got our chairs, and we watched the war games going on at night, which was quite interesting because the jets, the F-16s, fly in formation, and they do various aerial maneuvers, and you can see them strobing, and the afterburners are on constantly. I mean, they're just zipping all over the sky, and they're dropping flares, and all this stuff is going on. But we didn't see anything other than that. The next day, you can't really see much during the day, but evidently they drop bombs. And when you feel one of these things go off, it's like something I never felt before. I was in the Army, but I never felt anything like this. It was a double shock wave, a lot like what you experience when you hear the shuttle come in.
Right.
But it reverberates in the ground. I mean, it just shakes you to pieces. So I don't know, what kind of a bomb they're dropping. But that was kind of interesting. And as I said, you can when the air temperature at the altitude is cold enough, and I don't know whether you knew this or not, but when I quit flying, I had about 2,700 hours of air time. And they have to be at a certain altitude to get a contrail because the air is cold.
That's right.
So, you were able to see some of that, but you didn't see a great deal of anything. The following night, we said, okay, we're going to get out there before dark, and we'll get to where we were going and so on. And we got, for whatever the reason, the kind of a late start. We were chatting and so on. So it was already dark, and we were driving down this lonely road. And here's where it goes bananas. Around my neck is my binoculars, a real nice set of binoculars. And my lap is a Sony video cam with the night shot equipment.
I was going to ask if you took any night vision stuff.
Yeah, well, I had the camera, and it was there, ready to go, sitting on my lap, driving along, and I was sitting in the back, and two other people, one driving in the front, and the fellow that's driving, as we're cruising down this dirt road, says, "Oh, look, there's a light on that hill." And I said, "Oh, where? So we look, and yeah, there's a light on a hill, which wasn't there before. And then we slowed down a little bit, and there was two lights. And then there was three lights.
Uh-huh.
And then four lights. And then five. And then six. And then pretty soon, the lights, you could see, were going around in a circle counterclockwise."
Wow.
So I said, wow. And I pick up the video camera, and by the time I... it's so dark that when you turn on the viewfinder, it about blinds you. And by the time I got the viewfinder, to look at the light, it was already going back down where it came. Now, if we had a lick of sense, which we didn't, not at all, official UFO, investigators.
Yeah.
Camera in my lap, binoculars, we should have just stopped, turned off the lights,
Of course.
And taking some pictures. But no, look, no, we had to get better.
I don't fault you for one second. Almost nobody who sees these incredible things has a camera handy and is able to get it focused and ready and take the pictures. It just doesn't happen. But you really saw that. You saw as many as, what, seven lights?
There were six or seven lights. And as
rotating?
They were going around counterclockwise.
Wow, that's a wow.
Yeah, and, you know, if we had stopped and shut off the lights, I think they saw us. And therefore, you know, who expects to see a car out, you know, in the desert on a dirt road? Even in that area, not maybe even a weird ufologist.
were you close enough to draw the attention of guards?
No. But I'm sure they knew we were there. Because,
yeah, I'm sure they did.
This was no extraterrestrial craft. This was something that's ours. Because they saw us, and we weren't supposed to see it, and they went back down.
Yeah, but what do we have that we know about that rotates in the manner you described? Nothing.
Well, we know absolutely nothing, but my God, they don't even tell us that the aurora exists, and that was on the pages, 15 years ago of the magazines with the propulsion system.
That's right.
So they're not going to tell us we got that kind of equipment, but rest of the story.
Okay, go ahead.
The rest of the story. The following night, we were out and we were getting ready to leave. We were still at the little alien, and boy, the activity was just spectacular. They were dropping flares and targets, and the F-16s were just all over the place. And so we stopped as we were, heading out to the car, virtually stopped, and we were looking at things through the binoculars and so on. And we saw what we thought were three F-16s flying in formation, two ahead and one trailing, and then another one sort of off to the left.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys exclaimed, gee, that's weird. What's weird? What are you talking about? Well, that big bright star that was just ahead of those two F-16s, it just disappeared. So I said, oh, really? So I trained my binoculars up there, and there was this whole patch where you could not see the stars, and it was in the shape of a triangle.
Oh.
And the one to the left that was trailing was an F-16. And what we thought were F-16s, which was the strobing, was on each edge of the triangle.
Oh, you saw exactly what I've seen. I got to see it a whole lot closer, but there's no question about it. We have, or they have, or somebody has, a triangle that defies gravity. And if it doesn't
absolutely
defy gravity, then it's a lighter-than-air craft of some sort. But what I saw looked very metallic, very silent, completely silent. I mean, we have it. Either we have it, or they have it, or we back-engineered it, or something. But these triangles are as real as a heart attack.
No, absolutely. This thing was just blocking, and it was huge. I mean, they were at the same height, as far as the lights were concerned, as what the F-16s were flying. And that altitude, had to be above 30,000 feet. And this thing blocked out a chunk of the stars. You just couldn't see through it, but I didn't see the detail that
but there were enough stars so that you could actually make out the outline of what was blocked.
Then we realized these are not three F-16s. This is a triangle, and
wow,
it's moving along. And with all the noise from the other guys with their afterburners on, there was no excess noise from this thing, so I would assume it's silent. But again, four of us saw it. We all looked through the binoculars and were absolutely flabbergasted. And as I said, there was these three Belgian pilots there. And the day that we were leaving, two of them were outside talking on their satellite phones, and I was inside with one of them. We were sort of saying goodbye. We got to know them pretty well. And I said, we didn't really waste anything coming here because we saw some interesting things. So what'd you see? So I told him, and he was kneeling down on the floor by the table where I was sitting, and he just smiled. He says, "Well, you know, all the things you hear about Area 51, yes, well," he says, "they're all true."